bring you greetings this morning in the name of Christ. We look a little scattered, but that's okay. Greetings to those of you who are watching online. May you be blessed where you are as well. In Christ alone, that's really where it's at. In Christ alone. I was blessed this morning by hearing you share. I was blessed by the songs as well. This last song, "When Darkness Seems to Hide His Face." Is that the way it seems to you sometimes right now? When darkness seems to hide Jesus' face. As I was thinking of a message, I was thinking of the time we're living in. There seems to be a lot of chaos and unrest. There are many voices and many opinions, and I voiced some of that in my last message. There's lots of violence, destruction. Sometimes I wonder, are we living in a third world country? What's happening? Are we destroying us from within? There's much abuse. We have a lot of technology. We have a lot of different media. And it seems the more media we have, the more confused we become. We have political parties who keep bashing each other, not building each other up. Then we have, excuse me, then we have COVID-19. And then we didn't have church for how many months? And now we come to church and we are taking precautions. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I think that's good. But as I thought of that, I thought I needed something that has some meat to it. I needed something that has some strength to it, something that's solid. And as we go through this time, as I looked at that, I found the verse in Psalm 62, verse 8, where it says, "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. Stop and calmly think about that. That's something that's sure. That's something that's solid. I don't care if we're scattered and all the other things that are happening. It all comes back to God. It all comes back to him. He's been in control for how long? Since the beginning. Since the beginning, he's been in control, and he is still in control. This verse was penned, Psalm 62 was penned during the days of Absalom's rebellion. I was blessed by looking at the life of David. If you look through Psalms and in a lot of David's writings, there's two things that come through over and over and over again. And it's trusting in God and waiting. Often he says, wait patiently. Why would David write those words? Because that was his life. That was his life. David learned early in his life to depend upon God. He learned to depend upon God in his youth when he was out there in the pasture taking care of the sheep. Who did he communicate with? He wrote lots of psalms. He sang to his Maker. David learned something about deep trust. Trust, 982, means to attach oneself to, trust, confide in, feel safe, be confident. The RSV often says rely on. The basic idea is associated with firmness or something that's solid. That's what David is saying. And it was written during the rebellion of Absalom. If I take you back to 2 Samuel, chapters 15 through 18, Absalom had won the hearts of Israel. And so David in chapter 15, when they were leaving, and all the country wept with a loud voice, and all of the people passed over, the king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. David was saying, we need to leave. Then the king said this to Zadok. And the king said, Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here I am, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. Then in verse 30, and David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olivet, and wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up, weeping as they went up. Do you get the setting? Do you think that was normal? No. I think they felt pretty out of joint. So David writes this, Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, people. David's son had betrayed him. You think that hurt? I think it did. Was David responsible for people that were following him yet? He was. How did David respond to that? He gives them encouragement. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Stop and calmly think of that. And here they were, leaving their home. People were going with him. David was weeping. And David gives encouragement to those that he was responsible for. Thank you. Pour out means to spill forth, shed, to pour out. It is often used with pouring out the contents of a vessel. David is saying, pour out your hearts to God. Tell him what you think. Let God know. They were in dire straits. Refuge. God is a refuge for us, David was telling the people. Here they were going. They didn't know what would happen. They didn't know whether Absalom would come after them or what. Also, one of David's trusted advisors had betrayed him, Ahithophel. So David had a couple whammies against him. And David is saying, God is a refuge for us. Refuge means hope, shelter, a safe place. David was saying, in spite of what's happening now, don't forget, God is our refuge. That's all that really matters. God is our refuge. I like what the Life Application Study Bible says. Placing all hope in God, knowing that God is in control, allows us to wait patiently for him to rescue us. True relief doesn't come when the problem is resolved, because because more problems are on the way. True relief comes from an enduring hope in God's ultimate salvation. Only then will all trials be over. They will all be resolved. I like that. True relief comes from an enduring hope in God's ultimate salvation. And that has been completed. It will be completed for each one of us after we are no longer here. So, let's read Psalm 62. David pens this with that setting. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. I think David was pouring out his heart. David sensed that God was the only thing that was solid at this time. And he reached out to God. Plus, he was being an example to those that were going with him. But I notice, verse 1, he says, waiteth. Verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Here they were going. They didn't know how this was going to turn out. He had total dependence upon God. God, whatever you want, however you work this out, I'm okay with that. Trust in an acrostic, total rest under severe trial. The Webster's Dictionary says, assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something, one in which confidence is placed, dependence on something future or contingent, hope, to rely on the truthfulness or accuracy of, believe, to hope or expect confidently, trusts that the problem will be resolved soon, to commit or place in one's care or keeping, and trust, to place confidence, to depend on something or someone. And I believe that's what David was doing. He was depending on God. God, I depend upon you. You know where I'm at. Fanny Crosby depended on God for $10. Didn't know where $10 would come from. We trust in many things to save us. The strength of a chair to keep us from falling. The power of a bridge to support our weight. The ability of an ongoing, oncoming driver to stay on his side of the yellow line to prevent a crash. Children trust their parents to protect them from danger. We trust the light switch. When we go to the light switch, what do we expect to happen? We trust that it lights. So what does the word trust mean to you? Is it more than just a word in the English language? What are the things you trust in? How do you do trust? How is it fleshed out? When do you trust? Has the person or thing you trusted in ever let you down? Have you ever been that person that's let somebody else down? When do we trust the most? When we are in control or out of control of the situation? As long as I'm in control of the situation, do I need to trust? Because I got it. We say we trust, but do we really? Do we really? God wants us to trust Him completely in all situations. It's easy to say we trust God, but often our actions don't match what we say. We worry, we struggle with frustration, with fear, with disappointment. And we don't know. How's this all going to turn out? When will coronavirus be over? I truly believe we all want to trust God. We all want to trust the Lord. I hear the comment often, well, I just want to trust. Well, what are we saying? What are we doing? A pastor said trusting God doesn't come easy and usually happens when we hit bottom. Usually we turn to God when nothing else works. Where we should be turning to God to start with. The fact is, God reigns. No matter what circumstance we face, Jesus reigns over our illnesses, our cancer, our job loss, the current racist problem, our hurts and painful situations we find ourselves in. God reigns over those. At times we are disappointed because God answers in different ways than we think or expect. Then we say God wasn't fair. I wonder how God feels at times. Does He feel mistrusted? As I was going through this study, and I'd be open for correction, I believe trust is a choice that we make. Trust is a choice. I choose to trust my Maker. I choose to do that day after day after day, regardless of my circumstance. I may not always feel that I'm trusting. That doesn't remove the fact. You can't always go by what you feel. It's what you decide to do. It's a decision to trust. It is an action. It is something that I learn to do day after day, more as I practice it. I may or may not always feel it. As I looked into the life of David, in Psalm 18, verse 2, David said, I will trust. What is that? That's a decision. David said, I will trust. Even in the things that we're experiencing now, are we going to trust our state officials? They may not always make the right decisions, but are we going to trust? Are we going to listen to them? What are we going to do? It's a decision. Another thing I noticed as I looked into the scripture, why did David often remind himself, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. What was David doing? He was basically giving self-talk. He was reminding himself about the truth of God. I don't think David always felt it. My salvation cometh from him. He only is my rock. I don't think David felt like that, leaving his home. David was the king. His son had betrayed him. Ahithophel had turned against him. And David says, he only is my rock. David was weeping. He was barefooted. He was in sackcloth, leaving his home, not knowing whether he would come back or not. Verse 3, I find it interesting. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. A broken down fence, or a wall, retaining wall that was bending in, you didn't know when it was going to flop. I think that's the way it felt. Pretty descriptive. David talks about waiting. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Self-talk. I think sometimes we need to tell ourselves what the scripture really says. Self-talk. And then he tells the people, well, in verse 7, in God is my salvation and my glory. Self-talk. Trust in him at all times. Get the picture? Trust in him at all times. Here he is, leaving his home. People are following him. He's weeping. David is saying, trust him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart. Tell God. Pour out your heart. I think that's what God wants from us. He wants us to pour out our heart to him. If we wait to trust God until everything is going good and the feeling is there, your life will be one miserable roller coaster ride. I need to decide today, God is my salvation. I will trust him no matter what comes. In Psalm 37, verse 5, David says this, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way unto the Lord. The picture is rolling oneself upon the Lord, casting myself on God. My dependence is on him. The word way means a going, walk, journey, way, path, road, mode, manner, course, way of life. It's my life that I commit, my way of life, I commit to God. Chapter 37, verse 3. Same word, same meaning, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Again, David is looking to something that is solid, that is firm. He is saying, trust in the Lord and do good. Do means to work, labor, toil, to make, create, construct, build, to accomplish. The basic meaning is to do or make in a general sense. It has the connotation of ethical obligation, obedience for Israel, is what David was saying. Good means good, pleasant, beautiful, excellent, lovely, delightful, convenient, joyful, precious, sound, cheerful, kind, correct, righteous. The good, the right, virtue, happiness, pleasantness. It may refer to practical or economic benefits. And then verily, I found that interesting. It means firmness, steadfastness, faithful, trust, honesty. This word has its key idea of faithfulness or certainty. It is especially important in expressing God's faithfulness. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Another area of trust is found in Isaiah 26, verse 4. Same word, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Same word, same meaning. Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. So even in darkness, even when times are dark, I think David had a dark time when he penned Psalm 62. Job 13:15. When God permits affliction, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. This word also means trust, but it means to wait, to tarry, to hope, expect, to be patient. It can mean the passage of time. It can also have a sense of expectation in hope. I think that's what Job was saying. He was going through a dark time in his life, and Job was determined. He had his focus on God. He was depending upon God. He was trusting God. And yet he says this, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Job understood his position in God. Nahum 1:7, the Lord knoweth them that trust him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. God knows those who have a true trusting heart. I will trust him when scared. Psalm 56, verses 1 to 3. This was a time when the Philistines had taken David in Gath. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of dogs, of darkness, of death? I think we can trust God in our fears. David was not afraid of very much. David told Goliath, I come to thee in the name of the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David was determined. He had made his peace with God. He knew where he trusted. He had personal experience in trusting God earlier on in his life. He also says in that same chapter, I have killed a bear and a lion, so you are no threat to me. God is with me. David also trusted God for safety. D.L. Moody says this, "I will trust him for a song." D.L. Moody's favorite verse was Isaiah 12, verse 2. D.L. Moody says you can travel first class or second class to heaven. Second class is what time I am afraid I will trust, Psalm 56, 3. First class is, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." That's first class. I think we all want first class. If you haven't got it yet, God wants us to trust him. That's the bottom line. One of the most beautiful illustrations of trust in God was shown by our Savior, the Son of God. As he was hanging there on the cruel cross, his physical life was spent. He was doing the work of the Father, but his spiritual eyes were fixed upon God. In one of his last gasps of breath, he revisited Psalm 31, verse 5. "Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." And then he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." I think this really speaks of trust. And if Jesus was able to do that, we can have this confidence in death too, as we rest upon the promises of God. I have a story that I would like to read. It was written by Carl Benzio, a medical doctor. And it's titled, "Will You Trust God's Blocking for You?" Football is played in cold weather and a violent sport. I played it, but I didn't like it. I was a quarterback, luckily, and would hand the ball to our running back, who would move toward the designated hole in the line to advance the ball. At first, no hole exists. Huge, angry defenders block his path, trying to tackle and hurt him. So, his first reaction and natural instinct of self-preservation was to run somewhere else, to use his speed advantage and find a better path where no one could tackle him. The coach would tell our running backs, "Trust your linemen. They're blocking the huge, angry guys, but it takes a second or two. By the time you get to the line, the hole will be there. You have to run hard, waiting for the hole to open, not just trusting, but knowing your teammates will accomplish their job, so you can run through the hole at top speed. If you wait and stand still to see if the linemen really do their job, and then start running, it will be too late, and the hole will close back up. You'll miss your opportunity for success and be crushed." He goes on to say, "Waiting on God has similar principles. Waiting on God means taking action. Take the ball he gives you, then start running toward the hole he is opening while directing your attention to him in hopeful anticipation of what he will do next. It means trusting him with every part of your being, of trying to figure out everything on your own. We are often afraid or distracted by our discomfort, pain, and need for a quick fix. We want to be in control and have a need it now mentality. These distractions cause us to hesitate. They interfere with our ability to go full speed as we actively wait and trust God to do His thing. Satan, the world system, and our flesh are always trying to distract us with interference. Our spiritual radar gets jammed and has trouble tuning in His communication action in our life. We miss the narrow door, the hole God has for us. Life tackles and sometimes crushes us. Remember the Israelites? They took their ball of freedom and ran toward the Red Sea. The Egyptians chased them from behind. Satan and their flesh told them they were doomed. The line looked blocked. But Moses had faith God would open the hole and part the Red Sea so the Israelites could run through. Like most holes, it was a finite window of opportunity. You need to be on God's timeline to hit the hole when it is opened in order to be blessed by it. Trust His promises are true and that He will fulfill them. Tithing is a very concrete application. Do you tithe as you are called to and then trust God to provide? Or do you wait for God to provide before tithing? The second way usually results in missing a big opportunity God has planned for you. It's just like the running back who waits too long because he lacks trust in his lineman. Today, be patient when something different or stressful occurs, or when what you should do is unclear. Remember, God speaks to us through our circumstances, so pay attention and actively listen to Him. Take action and read what He is saying to you based on who He is. Then respond rather than react based on your limited skills, insight, and ability to read the future. Look for the light. He will shine on your stepping stones. Move toward these opportunities knowing He will do His part. Sitting and waiting will cause you to miss blessings that He will have to put back on the shelf. Whether you trust He will open the path to safety and take advantage of His path, or trust your own instincts and miss the opening. It's your decision, so choose well. I thought that story said it well. I like that idea. I'm not much of a football fan or understand the game, but I've seen enough these guys bending down and then they run into each other and they hut the ball and the quarterback gets the ball and these guys rush to each other and they try to make a hole. And if this quarterback or the guy that gets the ball waits too long, if he's not on his toes and is ready to go, the hole will not be there very long. So what hole are we missing? Is that hole an opportunity to give a testimony? Is that hole an opportunity to have devotions? Is that hole an opportunity to be a teacher? Is that hole an opportunity to go on the mission field? Or is that hole an opportunity to serve on some committee? What is that hole for you? I don't know. You need to answer that. But never forget, trust is something that I decide to do. It is a decision. It's not so much a feeling. It's a position that I live in. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your faithfulness in the past. Thank You for the many people that have been faithful in the past, people that have trusted you, people that have trusted you deeply, and they can be an inspiration to us even today. We may not face the same things that they faced, but we have our own battles. And so, Lord, help us to trust you. We know that you are an individual that is solid. You are firm. You are always there. You make no mistakes. We are people that think we need to have everything spelled out. And that's not how things work in your kingdom. So as we go through life, help us to make that decision to trust you in a deep way, even when things look dark and dismal, like they did for David. Thank you for the life of David and the things that we can learn from him. Help us to encourage ourselves in you and to remind us of your truths, the things that we can hang to, the things that give us encouragement to keep going and to remain faithful. Lord, I pray that you would just guide us and direct us. Help us to respond to life in a way that would encourage others as that are watching on. Also pray for those that have had recent surgeries, those that may be facing surgeries. Pray for healing. Pray for courage for those that are not able to be here. Pray for courage for those that don't know for sure what's going to happen next. May you continue to direct our lives. And Lord, our desire would be at some point that we could meet together again as a group of your people to appreciate and enjoy each other. I pray this in the name of Christ with thanksgiving. Amen.